Last night's rain made it a quiet Halloween in downtown Chapel Hill, but authorities in Hillsboro were busy investigating a reported road rage incident that led to a shooting. Officials say this started shortly before 7 p.m. on 86 north of town as two vehicles were traveling south. A man says the driver of an SUV fired several times at his sedan, first on Revere Road and then again later on. The shots caused damage to the vehicle and grazed a toddler who was strapped into a car seat. The child suffered a slight burn wound on his back, treated on the scene. Hillsboro Police and the Orange County Sheriff's Office are now investigating. Meanwhile, in Washington, the U.S. Supreme Court heard arguments yesterday in an 8-year-old case challenging UNC's use of race as a factor in admissions decisions. The court has ruled on multiple occasions that race can be used as a factor as long as it's narrowly tailored. But now with a more conservative court, plaintiffs want an outright ban on colleges and universities using race as a factor at all. With more on the case and where UNC stands, here's 97.9 The Hill's Brighton McConnell.
Students for Fair Admissions, an anti-affirmative action group, has filed several lawsuits in the past decade attempting to overrule race-based considerations in college admissions. In the UNC case and a lawsuit against Harvard being considered at the same time, the organization is representing Asian American and white plaintiffs. Its argument is that UNC's consideration of race actually discriminates against students from those races and violates the 14th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, which says, quote, "No state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privileges or immunities of citizens of the United States." A U.S. district court ruled in favor of UNC last October, saying the Chapel Hill campus presented enough evidence for compelling reasons to pursue a diverse student body, and considering race has helped with several measurable and unmeasurable benefits for the school. UNC Chancellor Kevin Guskowitz said diversity is a fundamental value of his institution. He told media members after oral arguments on Monday that students sharing their different life experiences is critical to the university's goals, curriculum, and offerings to its student body.
That is what is needed as we build a class of students and graduates who are going to go on to become the civic leaders that this nation requires, really to strengthen our democracy. And so that was a strong case today that was made, and I feel good about the arguments that were made today.
In both cases against UNC and Harvard, Students for Fair Admissions is asking the Supreme Court to reconsider its ruling in Grutter v. Bollinger, a case that upheld the use of race in admissions 2 decades ago. On Monday, many of the Supreme Court justices' questions within the oral arguments focused on whether race-based admissions considerations would have an end date. The 2003 Grutter v. Bollinger case at the time indicated affirmative action may only be needed for another 25 years to try and close the racial disparities in higher education, a note many of the justices were reportedly fixated on. Many justices also called UNC's admissions practices seemingly zero-sum when it comes to considering race as a factor for someone's application, which is an argument for the plaintiffs, despite UNC saying it considers racial identity only if volunteered by the prospective student. Guskowitz and the university maintain that race is just one factor considered for a student's admission. Academic performance, essays detailing one's experience, geography, military status, and socioeconomic background are also part of how admissions officers decide case by case whether to allow acceptance. The UNC chancellor said the number of hypotheticals used by some of the Supreme Court justices stood out to him on Monday. Another detail that stood out, how many UNC students traveled to Washington, D.C. in support of the university's admissions. An advocacy group called UNC for Affirmative Action had some of its students travel and participate in rallies with other groups from Harvard and Yale in the Capitol on Monday, voicing favor for race-based admissions considerations. Guskowitz said in addition to speaking with that group, his experience as a professor and chancellor at UNC for many years has given him a direct view of how Carolina's efforts in improving diversity help spur better student experience.
I've been on the front row of this, seeing the educational benefits on a daily basis of this, and I think that the vast majority of students that I talk to welcome those opportunities that they have in the classroom for diversity to allow them to grow and mature as those future civic leaders.
Guskowitz said he was not going to speculate on the outcome of the case, since the justices will hold private deliberations before announcing their decision. But he said the university will prepare for, quote, any outcome, and will still prepare to support and promote diversity on campus. When asked about whether he feels the importance of UNC's representation of affirmative action programs and practices, Guskowitz said he does, and he is proud Carolina is defending its processes. He said the case was brought up at a recent president's meeting for the Association of American Universities, of which UNC is a member.
There was a lot of talk about this and the importance of Carolina and Harvard defending the right to this holistic admissions process and to include race as one of many factors in our admissions process. And I think many of them were counting on us. And so I feel, again, really proud to be in that position. And I feel good about the way in which we presented a strong case today.
The U.S. Supreme Court will likely announce its ruling in Students for Fair Admissions versus the University of North Carolina next summer. For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Brighton McConnell.
Turning to the midterm, another 2,232 Orange County residents cast ballots yesterday during the early voting period, still slightly behind the 2018 pace, but that period did have one extra day of early voting. Early voting continues through Saturday with six locations in Orange County: the Chapel Hill Public Library, the Seymour Center on Homestead Road, Chapel of the Cross on East Franklin Street downtown, the Carborough Town Hall Complex, Orange Works at Hillsborough Commons on Mayo Street, and the Eflin Raritan Club. Many key races on your ballot this fall, including State House and Senate, where Republicans are hoping to pick up enough seats to win a veto-proof majority in the General Assembly. What can we expect on election night? Public policy polling director Tom Jensen weighed in recently.
For the legislature, it's really going to be right on the line, I think, about whether Republicans can win enough seats to get veto-proof majorities in the House and Senate, and in some sense emasculate Roy Cooper for the rest of his time in office if they can just overturn anything that he vetoes. There's a lot of really close races for North Carolina House, a lot of really close races for North Carolina Senate. Democrats need to be able to win at least 40% of the seats in both the House and Senate. And I think, you know, it could be a late night seeing whether they quite win enough seats to do that or not. So certainly, you know, there's so much attention on the national picture right now, but people in your listening area sort of thinking about a way to make a difference here in the last 2 weeks, your volunteer energy, your money, et cetera, going to go a lot further on these legislative races in North Carolina than they are for national stuff. And ultimately, of course, what happens with the dynamic between the legislature and the governor may have more impact on our lives.
That's Tom Jensen speaking there. You can get more election coverage on the elections page of our website, chapelborough.com. Time now for sports, brought to you this hour by Ole Miss Jewelers. Tar Heel football coming off another big win, but the Tar Heels got some bad news yesterday. Not one, not two, but three starters are out for the rest of the season after suffering injuries in that Pitt game on Saturday. Running back Caleb Hood and defensive end Dez Evans both suffered upper body injuries. Linebacker Noah Taylor suffered a lower body injury. All three losses are significant. Hood leads Carolina in yards per carry. Evans is tied for second in quarterback hits, and Taylor leads the Tar Heels in both sacks and tackles for loss. Taylor's also a grad transfer, so his injury will end his Carolina career. Here's UNC defensive coach Gene Chizik talking about Taylor.
You know, it's hard to replace Noah because it's not just the skill set that he brought. He brought a phenomenal leadership, attitude, good teammate-type presence to our defense. And so that's going to be really, really hard to replace. Obviously, he was a really good player, but really, really smart, was a great leader for our defense. Really hard to replace that. And we have some others that are doing the same thing. But in that regard, that's going to be hard to replace. But, you know, it's this time of the year that these things happen. And we have prepared as the season has gone, depth-wise, to be able to, you know, if these situations occur, to be able to not be in scramble mode. So we're not. We'll have to move some pieces around. But at the end of the day, our job is to put the best people on the field to give us a chance to win and prepare them the best way to do that. So we've got a good plan with that.
That's Gene Chizik speaking there. UNC did get some better news as well, as a pair of Tar Heels earned awards after the Pitt game. Antoine Green is your ACC Wide Receiver of the Week after pulling down 10 catches for 180 yards and two TDs. And Drake May won ACC Quarterback of the Week, fourth time this season for him, after throwing for 388 yards and five TDs. May was also named a Manning Award Star of the Week, and he earned a spot on this week's Davey O'Brien Award Great 8 list as one of the nation's top QBs. degrees. UNC takes on Virginia this Saturday at noon. The following weekend, they'll be at Wake Forest. Kickoff time for that one has been set for 7:30. And speaking of game times, we also have the time for Carolina's Black Friday matchup with NC State. That one will kick off at 3:30. Elsewhere in UNC sports, freshman volleyball star Anita Babich has won ACC Freshman of the Week honors for the third week in a row. And in field hockey, the top-ranked Tar Heels swept the ACC's end-of-season awards. Riley Heck winning ACC Freshman of the Year. Meredith Shoulder winning ACC Defensive Player of the Year. Head coach Karen Shelton winning ACC Coach of the Year honors for the 12th time in her career. Shared that honor with Wake Forest coach. And most impressive of all, Aaron Mattson won ACC Offensive Player of the Year for the fifth straight season. She is the first five-time ACC Player of the Year in any sport. Tar Heels are the top seed in the ACC tournament this week in Durham. They'll face either BC or Syracuse tomorrow at 1. UNC men's soccer also starting its ACC tourney tomorrow. They'll be at home hosting Boston College at 6. And in hockey, the Carolina Hurricanes got a shootout win last night, 3-2 over the Capitals. The Canes are back in action Thursday at 7 on the road at Tampa Bay.